Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So we are in the middle of our sermon series called Duke and Altum. It's this Latin word that means go out into the deep, put out into the deep. It's looking at that passage, I think in Matthew, where Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, I want you to go put out into the deep again, and then cast your net where you've been fishing all day, to go out into the deeper water and do a new thing, and to watch all the fruit, all the fish that are going to come from it, to put out into these deeper waters." And we've been looking at the membership vows that we take when we join this church or when we join a Methodist church. The membership vows are that we'll support the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And so we've talked about service and presence, and this week we're talking about prayers. How can we support the church in our prayers? And not just support them in a superficial way, but what are the ways that we can go deeper? What are the ways that Jesus is calling us to go deeper in our prayers? And what are ways that in this kind of unique time and unique season in our ministry that we can rethink how prayer looks in our everyday life, that we can rethink how we're praying for the church, we can rethink how we're praying for those around us. As Bert and I were talking, he pointed out this passage in Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7, and it's looking in a sort of a similar way that Jeremiah is writing a letter to the Jews in exile, that Babylon has come, conquered Judah, taken the Jews, and hauled them off to Babylon, where they'll be for the next 70 years. And Jeremiah writes this letter to them, and he says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will too." Jeremiah's writing this prophecy to the exiles, and it's this idea that don't wait for things to get back to normal before you start doing what God wants you to do. Don't wait for things to go back to the way that they were before you get on doing what God is calling you to do. I think that's a very present word for us today, that we don't have to wait for things to get back to normal before we can do the things that God is calling us to go deeper into. We don't have to wait for X, Y, or Z to happen before we can press into what God wants for us. So today, we're looking at prayer. How can we press in, not wait to go back to Jerusalem, but how can we press in now to what God wants for us and for the church? Our scripture passage for today is the opening to the book of Philippians 1, 3 through 11. It's Paul's opening prayer to the church in Philippi. And we're going to just examine Paul's opening prayer and how can we pray based off how Paul prays? What are kind of some key principles that we as a church can learn? What are the ways that we can go deeper into prayer just as Paul is deep in his prayers? Philippians 1, 3 through 11. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We're going to be examining this opening prayer that Paul is writing. And what are the principles that we can learn? How can we press deeper into prayer, mimicking Paul? And so first, we're just going to kind of ask some questions about prayer. The first is, why do we pray? Why do we pray? And the reason Paul gives, we pray because of our love for others and because of the power of prayer. We pray because of our love for others and the power of prayer. Looking again here in Philippians 7 through 8, just notice what Paul is saying in the motivation for what he prays. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. And then later down in verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That Paul is saying, I love you. That I love you, and that's why I pray for you. That my motivation for praying for you is fundamentally love. That our prayers need to become outward. That we're not looking at prayer of inward prayer today. We're looking at this outward prayer. The term that the church uses is intercessory prayer. This standing in the gap prayer, where we stand in the gap for someone. We intercede on their behalf. We go before the throne of God for them and pray for them in ways that they maybe can't themselves or just need more help. Looking at this intercessory prayer, this outward expression of prayer, this prayer that is an expression of our love for others. And oftentimes our prayers are inward, but we're being called to go deeper, being called to have our prayers be outward as well as inward. Richard Foster wrote a great book on prayer. If you recognize the name, it's because Stacy quoted from him last week. He wrote it's not the Bible of prayer, the Bible's the Bible. But it's a really good handbook for the different ways of prayer, the different modes of prayer. And he says this in his book on prayer: if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. Looking at what Foster's getting at, that we know that there are things in other people's lives that we ourselves can't fix. That we can see the hurt and the need in other people. And because we love them and we know our inability to fix them or fix their situation, that we go before the Lord in prayer, who has the power and ability to do that. We recognize that we cannot fix them, and so we turn to the God who can. Prayer is this declaration of trusting in God, that, Lord, this is outside my control. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, this person has come to me, and I can't fix this situation. God, I can't bring healing to them. I can't fix the wound. I can't fix the trauma that they're telling me about. I can't fix their situation. Lord, but I know you can. Lord, but I know you can. So we intercede on their behalf. We pray to the God of the universe, the God of Calvary, the God who loves us on their behalf. Prayer, intercessory prayer, is not just a command to obedience, but it's the great privilege of being a Christian, that we get to go before the throne of God, this great privilege and call as Christians to love those in a deeper and greater way, to go before the throne of God and intercede on their behalf. To go before God and intercede on their behalf. I was talking to a friend this week, asking her how she was doing, and she mentioned that she was in kind of a rough spot a couple weeks ago, and how she was just kind of, not really spiraling, but just in a bad kind of emotional place. And so she told me what she did is she reached out to two people that she knew that would immediately drop what they would do and would just immediately pray for them. And then she told me kind of the encounter that she had with this friend and how she called her up and was praying over her. And how just kind of that community, that the knowing that her friend was interceding for her, knowing that the prayers of her friend brought her to a better place, brought her to a better emotional state, brought her to a better state before the Lord. And that's the calling that the church has, that we can be people who reach out to one another for prayer, that we are people who drop what we're doing to pray for others, that we are people who cry out to God for other people because we love them. Just as my friend was telling me, I knew that these women loved me and they would drop whatever they were doing to pray for me. Because that's the heart that God is calling us to have for one another. That if we are truly family like the Bible tells us, that if God has knit this community together to be a family, to be a new family together, then how can we not pray for one another? How can we not reach out to one another in love? You know, it's weird. Even as a pastor, I feel weird asking my wife to pray for me. I don't know why that is. I can pray over strangers all the time, and it's not that weird. But for some reason, asking my wife to pray for me is weird. And whenever I kind of get over the weirdness for me, this is just me. This may not be you, but this is me. Every time I get over the weirdness and I say, Erica, I need you to pray for me. This is what's going on. It's just wonderful. And she prays for me, and we pray, and we go to the Lord together, and it's usually solved after that. And afterwards, I always think, why was that so difficult? Why was it so difficult for me to ask for help? Why was it so difficult for me to ask for prayer? Why is it so difficult for us to ask for prayer for others or to pray for others? Because if we love one another, if we truly love one another, then we will be people who pray for each other. Every week we say the Lord's Prayer, and in it, it's a declaration of crying out to God, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. God, come do something. Thy kingdom, Your kingdom, come right now. Your will that doesn't seem to be fulfilled every day, make it come to pass. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, come do something. We declare this every day. As I've been, once I started quarantining, I decided to read through the book of Acts. And what stands out to me is how prayer is a centerpiece to the heart of the early church. It wasn't an accent. It was the very heart of the early church. Before they did any programming, they didn't program their way to success. They didn't strategize their way to success. They prayed their way through everything. At the early church's commitment was not to programs, but to prayer. And that if we're going to have a revival again in our country, if we're going to have a revival again in our community, we need to be a people who pray like the early church did. Be people who call out to God like the early church did, that said, I will grasp onto the throne of God and cry out because there's nothing else that will change anything. Revival always starts with prayer. That we pray as Christians because we know God has not abandoned us. And if God hasn't abandoned us, we know that our prayers work. We know that our prayers are not falling on deaf ears. I think too many times, I know in me, it feels like my prayers aren't really working. There was this one point, I think it was my first year at seminary, I was kind of like, you know, I'm not sure my prayers are working all that much. So I prayed, I said, Lord, I want you to show me the power of prayer. I want you to just show me that prayer works. And so for the next year to year and a half, the strangest thing happened. About once a week, I would have a person come up to me and just tell me a random story out of the blue. Hey, did you know that someone prayed for me and I got healing for this thing? Did you know that I was in a real emotional state and I called to someone and they prayed for me and I was immediately better? Just story after story of just someone randomly telling me out of the blue that someone prayed for them and it made a difference in their life. Because I think our eyes are not often attuned to seeing the answered prayers. Our eyes are often focused on the unanswered ones. But if we open our eyes to see the reality that God is moving in our midst, that God is answering our prayers. There was this other time I was praying, Lord, show me the prayers that you've answered in my life, And the Lord spent about 30 to 45 minutes showing me all the prayers I had prayed in my life that he had answered. Because our God is a God who pushes us in love for others and answers the prayers that we call out to him. If we at Kingwood United Methodist Church are going to be a true house of prayer that calls out to God, then we need to grab a hold to the throne of God. We cannot program our way out of the mess that we're in, but we can pray through it and rely on the God who's going to be with us through it all. And so why do we pray? We pray because prayer works and of our love for others. And so how do we pray? How do we pray? We pray with persistence. We pray persistently. Looking at Philippians again, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I remember you. Not just every now and then, but every time I think of you, I immediately pray for you. And I thank God for you. And then again in verse 7 through 8, I always have you on my heart, that you're on my heart. This idea that Paul is saying, I don't just pray for you every now and then. I don't just pray for you once or twice. But every time I think about you, I pray for you. That Paul wrote this in jail, awaiting trial to be put to death. And he's saying, even in this time, I remember you and I'm praying for you. I will never give up praying for you. Whether I'm in chains or defending the gospel, I am reaching out in prayer for you. Too many times I think our prayers lack this persistence. We give up too easily. We live in this kind of Amazon culture where, you know, we can order a package and it'll be here in 2 days. We can go to the supermarket and we don't have to worry about seasonal changes. We have every produce available no matter what the season is. That we have this sort of instantaneous that if I want it, I can get it now or within 2 days or a little bit more than 2 days if it's Christmas time, but even then it's not that long of a wait, but I can get it here if I want it, or if I really, really want it, I can pay it to get here quicker. And too many times we take that same every day that we live our lives and we apply it to prayer. And we say, I've prayed this once, I've prayed this twice, and nothing's happening, so therefore prayer must not work. Or therefore I need to give up on prayer.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Call of the gospel, the call of Jesus Christ is to persistence. It's to persistent prayer that we commit not to pray just once or twice or for a few days, but a commitment to pray for weeks, for months, or even years. I've told this story before of Monica and Augustine, that Monica, Augustine's mother, prayed for her son to become a Christian for 20 years. Before his son converted back to Christianity. 20 years of prayer, 20 years of persistent prayer. That's the call of the gospel. That's the call that God is giving us to press in deeper to what he wants for us. Jesus has this parable of the persistent widow. There's this widow who goes before a judge, and the judge is not giving her justice. So the widow goes before the judge again and again and again and again and again until finally the judge says, I can't stand having this woman always talking to me. I'll just give her what she wants. And Jesus says, how much more then will it be like God who loves you? But it's this call that Jesus says, I want you to pray like that. I want you to be persistent like that, of never ceasing, of never stopping. Richard Foster, again, I loved his chapter this week that I read. He says this about persistence in prayer, talking again about the parable I just mentioned. These parables have been a special grace to me for how quickly I lost heart. Perhaps you know what I mean. We pray once or twice, and when nothing seems to move, we go on to other priorities, or sulk in self-pity, or even give up on prayer altogether. Our quick fix approach is a little like turning on a light switch. And if the lights don't immediately turn on, we throw our hands up and declare, well, I didn't really believe in electricity anyways. I mean, does that not speak into the reality of your life? That I'll pray for something for a little bit, and then when it doesn't seem to pass, you say, then prayer must not work. How often is that me that I just seem to give up too easily? It's so easy for us to throw up our hands and give up. But we see in our prayer book in the Psalms that the cry of the psalmist is, how long, O Lord? Lord, I've been praying for this for so long. How long before you do something? This call to persistence, this call to never stop praying, to grab hold to the throne of God and not let go till something happens. That's the call that we have as Christians. That's how we press deeper, to not just grab the throne of God, but to say, I won't let go until you do something. To be like Jacob, Lord, I won't let go until you bless me. That's the call that that's what we're supposed to mimic. That's what we're supposed to be doing. John Calvin says this, I love this quote. It was also in the Foster book. It's a really good book if you ever want to read it. John Calvin says this, we must repeat the same supplications, not only twice or three times, but as often as we have need, 100 and 1,000 times. We must never grow weary in waiting for God's help. That if we're to be persistent, if we're to fulfill these membership vows in deeper ways, we need to be persistent, to persistently cry out for God to move, to again, with that image of holding on to the throne of God and refusing to let go, as C.S. Lewis says, to go further up and further in, to press into God, to draw close to God and let Him draw close to us. Revival starts with this radical, persistent prayer. And if we want things to change, then we need to get on our knees and pray before the throne of heaven. Because that's the only way that things will change. So why do we pray? How do we pray? Finally, what is it that we pray? What's the content of our prayers? What do we pray? We pray specific prayers that reflect the heart and will of God. We pray specific prayers that reflect the heart and will of God. Looking again at Paul's prayer at the end of this passage in Philippians, verses 9 through 11. Notice what Paul does here. Notice the specificness of his prayer and how it reflects God's heart. Paul says this, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul's specific that your love may abound more, that you might be filled with this fruit, and it reflects the heart and will of God. Reflects the heart and will of God. So how do we find God's heart and will? We spend time with Him. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in the pages where He revealed His character to us. And we find what God's heart for us is, what God's will for us is. And then we also spend time in prayer. The more time we spend in prayer, the more God impresses His heart upon us. The more we draw closer to God, the more He draws close to us. Just to illustrate this, this past probably 2 months, I've been praying for something personal in my life, just kind of that persistently over and over again about every morning. And about 2 weeks into me praying for this, I just said, Lord, I want this to change in my life. I'm just going to start praying for it. And about 2 weeks in, I felt the Lord tell me a couple things. I felt Him tell me to keep praying until this changes, that call to persistence. And He also told me, I want you to add to this prayer that you'll learn contentment through this, that you'll be content while you're praying for the change. It's this reality that as we draw closer to God in prayer, that the deeper we press into prayer, the deeper God presses into us. And our prayers begin to change, and our prayers begin to reflect more and more of who He is as we spend more and more time with Him. Our prayers become more into alignment with the will of God. And so if you don't know where to start, just start by praying your heart. That's what I did. I said, Lord, I want this to change. I'm just going to start praying it to change. You start with your heart. Start with the things that you want to see changed in the world. Pray what you're passionate about. Pray for the things that God has broken your heart in the world for. Pray for the things that God has broken your heart for in this community of faith. Pray for the ones that you love. Pray for what God has broken your heart for. What is it that sets your soul on fire? As we sing that song, Set a Fire, Lord. God, what have you set my soul on fire for? And to just radically press into that. To radically just go deeper into that and not shy away from it. Not to say, God, this hurts, take it away. But to say, God, this hurts, do something about it. God, these people are hurting, do something about it. God, these people need healing. I need you to bring healing to them. God, there are unsaved in the world. Bring them to salvation. God, there are so many children who need homes. Bring them homes. Whatever it is that sets your heart on fire, go before the throne and don't let go, because that's from the Holy Spirit himself to pray, to be a minister of prayer, to go and radically ask God to move in our world. For me, it's often healing, or for people to have a radical encounter with God, that I've experienced the healing power of God. I've experienced God in a deeper way, and it radically transformed my faith. And so I want that for everyone else. So whenever I pray for others, almost always there's an aspect of God, bring healing to their life. God, where there is wounds, bring wholeness. God, I want you to encounter them so they can live deeper into you. I just pray the heart that God has given me, the brokenness that God has given me. In the Old Testament, there's this book called Nehemiah, which is about the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. Ezra is about rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah is about rebuilding the walls. And in those days, if you didn't have a wall around your city, you were open to bandits or armies. And so Jerusalem was unsafe. And Nehemiah was in exile. He was a cupbearer for the king. I think it was Xerxes. He was a cupbearer for the king. And he says this in the opening pages of Nehemiah, starting at verse 2. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and that were also living in Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And the implication behind that is they're not safe and that bandits can attack them anytime they want. And it says this in verse 4. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then in verses 5 through 11, it then lays out the specific prayer that Nehemiah gave. But it starts off with Nehemiah's heart breaking for Jerusalem. Nehemiah's heart breaking for his people. That before he did anything to fix the walls, and you'll see in the rest of the book if you want to read it, that Nehemiah fixes the walls. But before any program, before any plan, his heart breaks and he goes before God and he cries out with all of his heart. That if we want to be a church who comes out of this stronger than we went in it, then we need to be a church who radically presses into prayer, who doesn't shy away from prayer, who radically presses into what God wants to do in our midst. So how is God breaking your heart? How has God broken your heart like Nehemiah? One of the things I like to do is ask Jesus how he's praying for us. Scripture says that Jesus is standing before the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. That Jesus is always praying for you. Did you know that? Jesus is always praying for you. And so one practice I like to do is just say, Lord, what are you praying for? God, what are you praying? And then just pray what Jesus prays. It's usually pretty simple. His prayers are better than my prayers. Might as well just mimic what he's doing. And so one of the things I asked him before coming here is, Lord, how are you praying for Kingwood? How are you praying for this church? And he said, healing. that when I say I want this place to be a place of healing, I'm not just saying it because it's something I'm passionate about. It's because I believe that's what God wants to do in our midst. That's what God wants to do for his church. That when I say I want you to experience the gentleness of God, I'm saying it because that's what I heard Jesus say that he's praying over this church. That his gentleness might be made evident here. That his presence might be made here, and that he might bring healing in our midst here. Ask Jesus what he's praying for. What is God breaking your heart for? I'm going to invite the band back up, and also our prayer team is going to be here today. So how has God broken your heart? If we're to be in ministry with Jesus and be in ministry with those around us, then we need to be a people who are praying for each other. To go deeper into prayer means that we love each other, that we believe that prayer works, that we pray persistently, grabbing hold and not letting go, and that we pray God's heart and will, and we pray specifically. We don't just say, God bless Kingwood United Methodist Church. We say, God bless Kingwood United Methodist Church with hurting and broken people that they may come and receive healing and restoration. God, send us the weak, send us the addicted, send us those who society has cast out. Send them to us, for we can share them the gospel. That's a specific prayer for the church. Pray the heart of God that he may do mighty and wonderful things in our midst. Here are just some of the ways that we as a church meet for prayer. You can pray on your own, or you can join us that Sunday at 9 a.m. before church, we're praying. We're praying Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. on in person or in Zoom up in the Sunday school classrooms. Tuesday morning before staff meeting at 9 a.m., we pray. Every Wednesday evening in the prayer chapel from 6 to 7, we're praying. The last Tuesday of the month, we have a one church day of prayer where you can sign up for a 30-minute slot to pray. We have the prayer chapel that's open all the time during the week if you want to come and stop by during a lunch break. We have our Refugio prayer team praying for the Hispanic ministry. We have our prayer chapel open on Sunday mornings with a prayer partner in them to come and pray for you or pray for the church. And then finally, we have our healing and prayer service that just happens to be tonight from 6 to 7:30. Just a little soft plug right there. And so we have our prayer team up here. And so if you want to be a person, if the Lord is stirring something into your heart, don't ignore it. Don't ignore God. We have our prayer team up here, and they're going to just say a prayer over you. If you want a heart of prayer, if you say, God, I want this, I want to pray more, but I just can't seem to do it. God, I want to want what you want. Then just come up and say, Lord, I want a heart of prayer, and have them pray that over you. If you want to know the power of prayer, if you want to experience what I did, Lord, show me the power of prayer, come up and have them pray that over you. If you want God to break your heart for our community around us, have them come and pray for you. And so our questions for the week, how can you go deeper? How can you go into deeper waters in your prayer life? And then do you believe that your prayers make a difference? Do you believe that this call to prayer, that this sermon about prayer, this whole service about prayer is actually meaning anything, or do you believe it's just all nonsense? Or do you believe that radically when you get before the throne of God and you intercede on others' behalf, that he moves and he does something? Do you believe that your prayers make a difference? So friends, come, we have our prayer team up. I just come and just receive all that God wants for you as we close this song.